Please join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I am not worthy to have you into my home, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. And may your Spirit bless the giving and the receiving of the word, according to your purposes in our lives. Amen. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he demonstrated his leadership, or his lordship, to use the biblical term. I don't simply mean that Jesus proved to everyone that he was in charge because he had great powers. He wasn't using these miracles simply to show everyone that they should obey him. What I'm trying to get at is that the kind of leader we all know we long for in this world is the kind of leader Jesus was. An essential aspect of leadership that we all long for is that they would provide for others. Jesus demonstrated that he was Lord here by providing food for the hungry people who were with him. Now, anytime I think about leadership, I can't help but think about rabbits. Yes, you heard me, rabbits. There was a movie made in 1978. It was made from a book of the same name by Richard Adams, the author. And the movie was called Watership Down. It was a cartoon movie about bunny rabbits, a feature-length film. Many people since that time, my age or younger, have probably had this experience or could have had this experience of sitting down to watch this cartoon movie about bunnies and ending up scarred for life. I was expecting fluffy-tailed, long-eared, cutesy bunnies. Maybe it would be like Beatrix Potter, Peter Rabbit, or Thornton Burgess, The Adventures of Peter Cottontail. For those of you who've seen it or have read the books, you know that minutes into the film, you quickly realize that this is not going to be a story where Peter loses his shoe and then later on is tucked into bed with chamomile tea. It is not a story where all the animals in the green forest learn to get along in the end. The film begins in grass and sunlight and clover and rabbits, but suddenly one of the rabbits begins moaning and convulsing, and we are transported with this rabbit into a bloody vision where the entire warren is suffering gruesome deaths. It is a dark and eerie scene. The rabbits who hear this prophet share the warning with the other rabbits in the warren. But the leader of the warren rejects the vision and tells them to say no more about it. Now, from this chilling opening, a small group of rabbits escape in search of a new home. Their journey is through the wild, without holes to hide in or dens to live in. They face constant threats from death from exposure, from other rabbits, from human traps, from cars, hunters, predators, from going hungry. The story provides, though, a marvelous study in leadership. In this group that escape and make their way across through the wild in search of this vision they've had of a new home, there are several rabbits with skills. One is the visionary, the prophet, who is able to perceive danger, but also hope and a new home. Another rabbit is extremely clever and perceptive, is able to conceive strategies to help them. Another rabbit is large, strong, courageous, great-hearted, self-sacrificing, and protects them from enemies. Yet another is a singer and a storyteller, and reminds them in the darkest moments of the Creator's stories. As the group travels, the reader, the watcher, can't help but wonder which of these skilled rabbits will become the leader. Over the journey, a different rabbit entirely emerges as the leader. This one has none of the other's specific skills. Rather speaks and listens to each rabbit. The last to sleep, the first into danger. Through each stage, this rabbit constantly checks on the health of the fellow rabbits, speaking hope to those who are tired and despairing, checking and cleaning every wound, making sure each rabbit eats something and gets some sleep in the midst of their terror, comforts and calms any of those gripped suddenly by a panic attack, and risks his own life to save others. The author Richard Adams explained later that he modeled this rabbit after his own commanding officer in World War II. He described him as a brave, self-effacing man, an excellent organizer who rarely raised his voice. Everything about him was quiet, crisp, and unassuming. Adams had survived the terror and the chaos of modern warfare, thanks to this man. Adams had friends that did not survive. Adams rejected the criticism that death had no place in children's stories. Death is inevitable for every person. Indeed, this pandemic that we who are here are fortunate to have survived by God's mercy. This pandemic has reminded us of our mortality. We have been reminded that we are vulnerable. In response, we see around us and in the news fear, anxiety, grief, frustration, and anger being churned up everywhere. Some leaders are using their influence to nurture suspicion and rage and anxiety. Now, disease is not new. Neither are isolation measures. They were spelled out in the Old Testament 3,000 years ago. What is new is humanity's ability to manage many of the sources of human suffering, such as contagious illness and disease. We've gotten to the point where we no longer fear famine and illness, but believe that these can be conquered. Chronic hunger indeed has been slowly reduced over the last century, even though hundreds of millions, many of whom are children, still know the fear of going hungry. Famine and chronic hunger were well known in Jesus' day. And so Jesus was not simply being a polite and gracious host here, offering a pleasant surprise for his guests. Oh, you shouldn't have. No, these were people who had sought him out and had been with him in the wilderness for a while, and they were hungry. My heart goes out to them. I don't want anything to happen to them on the way home. He took responsibility for the well-being of this entire group. So what is it that makes someone a good leader? It isn't just because they've been placed in a position of leadership. We all know that, whether we reflect in our school, our time on the playground, or in classes, whether we think of our workplaces or our own families. In the midst of trouble, there might be someone who's the boss, but it might be that we instinctively turn to someone else whom we trust to guide us through this moment in this crisis. Jesus was that leader. He taught and he modeled that a good leader was a good shepherd. Now we see the good shepherd in action in this story, having compassion on those who were in need. In John chapter 10, Jesus teaches this leadership. A good leader he says. A good shepherd knows people by name, leads them out, going out ahead of them. The leader's whole purpose is to bring abundant life to others, even at the cost of their own life. Following Psalm 23, we could add that a good leader provides good green grass or food for us, provides peace, restores souls, and comforts fears. This is the leadership of our Lord Jesus Christ. And since Jesus has lived this on earth, therefore every person in a position of authority now or throughout history will be measured by the standards set by Christ. And by these standards, we should judge ourselves, but also those to whom we look for guidance. The voices that we allow to have influence over us. What fruit is their leadership bearing in our lives? Is it nurturing peace or fear? After listening to this person speak, do we feel worn out and exhausted and hopeless? Or are we feeling restored? Are they feeding us or leaving us empty? Jesus provided this meal to reveal his leadership to the people who came to him. As Father Christian at St. George's Orthodox Church said on Thursday at Susan Sanger's funeral, he said, "Stay close to Jesus. He will save you through all tribulation, even death." The conflict with the Pharisee that immediately follows the feeding of the 5,000 emphasizes that everyone understood that Jesus was establishing himself as a leader by doing just this. They were facing a choice. Would they join in the feast? There was more room. Would they sit down, receive bread and give bread and share it with this new family? Or would they turn away from Jesus? The Pharisees demanded, "Just who do you think you are? You are claiming to be a leader. On whose authority? Give us a sign from God." Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. And I know this sigh. I heard it over and over again from my own school teachers. He sighed deeply in his spirit. His own disciples do not understand yet either. If we glance down a couple verses in chapter 8, we'll see that Peter is about to come to a partial understanding, a half understanding, when he declares that Jesus is the Messiah. But it will take the cross and the resurrection for the disciples to see Jesus clearly. In this regard, Mark is comparing all of us to the blind man at Bethsaida in verse 22. The blind man needed to be touched and healed and spoken over twice by Jesus before his sight was fully restored. And so Mark, it would seem, is hinting that we also may need multiple times in order to fully understand who Jesus is in our lives. I know there are a few young people listening, although maybe that's optimistic. Maybe I should say, I know that there are a few young people within earshot of their screens, nearby, teens and children. I want you to know that the adults in this congregation have been watching you, many of you, since your birth. You should know that we see leadership abilities in you. Other adults tell Kaylee and Chris and me the good things that they see in each of you. Our prayer for you is the same prayer that we have for ourselves. That you would look to Jesus day after day to be your leader. Certainly to obey him. But more than that, to find in Jesus the one who guides you and protects you and feeds you. We also pray that you would use your lives to serve the church by leading as Jesus led. We pray that perhaps God might lead some of you, young women and men, to become pastors. We see your gifts, and we know you could do it. You could probably show me how it should have been done. And we look at the church, and we know that it's going to need good leaders. Strong, wise, loving women and men. Because there will be difficult times again. Leading must take into account that in this world, suffering will come. In the end, we all must face our own death. Yes, Jesus fed people, but let's not overlook the fact that it was Jesus who led them into the wilderness in the first place, where there was no food. In this world, therefore, being led into suffering is not necessarily a sign that the leader has failed. Leadership in this world cannot simply be based on a promise that everything is going to work out in this lifetime. Leadership in this world cannot simply be based on the promise of preventing hardship or guaranteeing success. Instead, we join the psalmist from Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table for me in the wilderness, in the presence of my enemies. I also take comfort in this. The disciples did not understand. But that didn't stop Jesus from feeding them. What is it you need to know? At least this. No matter what you understand now, turn to Jesus every day, certainly to obey Jesus, but also to trust that he will provide for you and be with you through to the end. Amen.